Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, consumer confidence is a critical measure of any nation's economic pulse. And the latest FNB BER, that's the Bureau for Economic Research, Consumer Confidence Index is giving us plenty to discuss as we approach the festive season. While the index has dipped slightly from minus 5 to minus 6 in the fourth quarter, it remains the highest festive season reading since 2019. What does that mean? Well, it signals improved willingness and ability to spend compared to last year. So I want to discuss these numbers in some detail now, and specifically what it means for South African households and businesses. Many find themselves in a difficult position right now, and joining me, FNB senior economist Koketso Mano. Koketso, a very warm welcome. So a slight dip in consumer confidence this quarter. What, in your opinion, is it indicating about the current economic sentiment in South Africa? Should we have a smile on our face?
Thank you for having me, Jeremy. I think, you know, it's given the past indicators that we've sort of become accustomed to since the pandemic, and maybe even before the pandemic, we have much to smile about now. It seems as though, you know, the recovery is gaining momentum. And I think it speaks volumes about our expectations for next year, where the household sector is concerned, and any businesses that are reliant on, you know, the well-being of the household sector. So at negative 6, it has declined slightly from negative 5 in the third quarter. It's really barely any movement. So we still view it as a very positive indication of the view that households have with regards to the outlook on the economy, their personal finances. It's less positive when you think about the willingness to spend on durable goods, but we're moving in the right direction in terms of not only consumer spending, but overall confidence indicators if you look at the broad spectrum, whether it be business confidence and all the others. So I think sentiment is starting to become more positive in the economy.
So you talk about a recovery, you talk about some positive momentum. That's a good thing. So are there specific factors then that you could hone in on that are contributing to the steady rise in confidence since 2023? But perhaps more importantly, within that continuum, where are your concerns? Where are the risks?
That's a very important question. So when we started to witness an improvement in confidence was in the third quarter. So we went into the second quarter, we know, with a little bit of uncertainty with regards to the elections and the outcomes and what that would mean for, you know, policy going forward and the robustness of the implementation of structural reform. And I think post the formation of the GNU, we have seen our confidence indicators improving. So we think that's one contributor to positive sentiment. The other would have been, you know, lower inflation, the expectations that interest rates would also start to come down. A stronger rand would have also been one of those indicators. And broadly, what we also started to see is not only local sentiment starting to improve, but also sentiment by foreigners, whether it be investors into the economy, also starting to improve. And we started to see that more immediately in your bonds, for example, your government bonds market. We're also expecting that to filter through to the equities market. So it was all of these shifts in the outlook on the economy that started to contribute positively to sentiment. What we're worried about and what we think will remain top of mind for a lot of consumers going into 2025 will be the political shifts that are happening globally and what that might mean, not only for global trade and growth, but, you know, for geopolitical tensions. So we're going to 2025 with, unfortunately, still that uneasiness weighing on the economy globally and also weighing on sentiment for consumers who are looking at what's happening outside and what that might mean for SA, especially when you think about fiscal policy, monetary policy. I guess the expectation, especially for households and small businesses, is that when you get lower interest rates, that will free up some finances for spending, you know. And unfortunately, what happens at the global scale will have implications for our outlook here.
And typically, those political factors that you outline, these days, it doesn't take too long to trickle down. And key to that would be the oil price, for instance. And we have a real issue with a steady rise in the price of petrol.
Correct. I mean, we started to already see that increase in petrol prices. Petrol prices have been so important to the downtrend in inflation. And now in November, we started to see petrol prices increase in November and December. And in line with that, we also expect headline inflation to show you that upward swing. It's not going to be very significant. It's not going to breach 4%, for example, as per our expectations. But you do see that turn in inflation. So it is a very important lever that I think a lot of consumers will be concerned about. Maybe what's not so strongly contributing to higher petrol prices is not the oil prices per se, because we think those will remain constrained by, you know, the global outlook, weak economic outlook globally. But what is concerning us, especially from when you think about the political, the sensitivity of emerging market currencies to political shifts, is what's happening with the rand. So we're worried that the rand is going to experience quite a bit of volatility going into 2025. And that has implications not only for fuel prices, but for your broader imported inflation.
Let's look at this study now in terms of economic demographic, if we can. And let's start with high income households. We're seeing improved confidence in the short period of this festive season. Are we going to see, in your opinion, a big uptick in spending?
That is one of the very important things to flag when you read consumer confidence indicators, right? So there is one, confidence in your or your sentiment towards your willingness to spend that can improve. So it can indicate that you're more willing to spend, but your ability to spend is something else, right? And that's so important when you think about the different sub indicators when you're thinking about income level. So what we saw and what we continue to say around high income earners are more sensitive to your policy outlook. They are more sensitive to equities and how the investment space is performing, and less sensitive to, you know, inflation, interest rates, because they have more financial buffers. So long as the policy outlook remains positive, you will still see consumers in the higher end of the income spectrum more willing to spend. And what's more positive in this regard is that they have, you know, the power, the spending power, in order to translate that to real economic spending. When it comes to your middle to lower income groups, they are more sensitive to interest rates, inflation. So as we spoke about fuel prices previously, that will be something that could weigh on, you know, your middle to lower income groups as they think about the outlook. And we know that in general and on average, incomes have not really kept up with inflation. So these consumers should remain relatively under strain. But I think the mitigating factor here will be the two-part retirement system and how consumers use that to either deleverage or support spending, especially going into the festive season.
And that leads on to my next question, the significance of the two-pot retirement system and the cash out. It has boosted consumers' ability to spend. There's no doubt about that. But surely we're starting to see the tail end of that now. And that holiday that many people experienced is coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, I think expectations were that it would be really a very temporary boost to consumer finances. But as I said previously, it depends on how consumers use that money. So if you use it to deleverage, improve your balance sheet, for example, it could be something that is more durable to how consumers are able to spend going forward. But if it's for more immediate spending, it could be quite, you know, it's temporary, a short-term boost to that spending. We do think, though, it will still come through in the fourth quarter numbers. If we remember correctly, it was initiated in September. There was a bit of a lag when it comes to administrative levers that needed to be pulled in order for you to get your withdrawal. So only in the fourth quarter, maybe going into the festive season, maybe do you start to see that impetus that comes through on retail spending. And then going into 2025, I mean, really, we expect, especially in the latter part of 2025, we don't really expect to see that boost that's coming through from the two-pot retirement system. But at least still a very positive indicator for retail sales, at least going into the last part of 2024 and the early part of 2025.
So let's, in conclusion, talk about those retail sales then. Is there any specific strategic advice that you'd be able to give, having looked at these numbers, to businesses and retailers who want to capitalize on this year's holiday, short-term holiday spending trends? Do they need to approach their, or need to change, recalibrate their thinking or strategy?
I think what's been important for us to pull through when looking at the retail sales numbers is that there seems to be quite strong spending on items such as household appliances, clothing is also relatively strong. What we think is happening there, and especially with the innovation of working from home, is that the replacement cycle when it comes to some of these household appliances is much shorter than it would have been before the pandemic. So that's where we see a lot of growth when it comes to retail spending. What may not be as strong, and I think as I said that before, and maybe not in the more short-term spending, is your more durable goods. Mm. As I said, households are more positive around the economic outlook and household finances, but not necessarily to the present time being suitable to purchase durable goods. So where you might still see a slow recovery going into 2025 is with your big ticket items, your vehicles. So your more durable goods might still experience a bit of a lag when it comes to the recovery. But that said, I think when you look at the numbers and the high frequency data, you can see how consumers are allocating their spending, at least in the last part of this year.
Well, with about 2 weeks or so to go before Christmas, that is the state of consumer confidence in South Africa, all thanks to the FNB BER Consumer Confidence Index. And my thanks to Koketso Mano, who is a senior economist at FNB.
Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.